Gospel of John, chapter 21. Before I read the passage, just a word of introduction. As you get to know many other Christians, you find out that we come from different backgrounds. We have different gifts and opinions and strengths and weaknesses. And no two of us are exactly alike. Some of us are better at some things than other things, because God has given us different gifts and abilities. If I were to ask you to think of who is the wisest Christian that you know, I wonder who you would think of. Or if I were to say who is the most patient, or who has the strongest faith of all the Christians you've ever met. How about if I ask you, of all the Christians you've ever known or met, which one of them do you think loves the Lord Jesus Christ the most? Think about that during this morning's message, and we'll get back to it later on. John chapter 21, we have a very familiar passage. Jesus has been risen from the dead, and this is the last chapter of John's Gospel, shortly before Jesus returned to heaven. And he sits down and has breakfast with the apostles and with Peter in particular, who had denied Jesus just shortly before. Let's listen to this conversation, verses 15 to 17. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus has been raised from the dead. Now he is gathered with his disciples around a little breakfast around a campfire. And Jesus surprises Peter with a question. You know, when they ate back then, they usually ate just kind of sitting down and reclining. And so here Jesus just kind of looks over at Peter, and Peter thinks he wants maybe to hand him another piece of food. So he says, "Simon, yeah? Simon, do you love me?" Surprises him with the question. Probably thought for a second. What'd you say? So he just kind of quickly says, "Well, yes, Lord, of course, you know that I love you." But yet there's something about that that caught Peter off guard. And so Jesus asks him again, and each time he asks him, it gets closer to his heart. And Peter gets the final meaning of what he's getting at. I'm sure many of you have heard sermons on this passage before, how that there are two different Greek words used here for love, one meaning a deep, real love, and the other one mainly a friendship. Jesus was saying, "Do you love me with a deep love?" And Peter was saying, "I love you with a friendship," until finally he hits the heart of Peter. He replies, "Yes, I really do love you, Lord." But Peter was surprised with the question. You ever been surprised with questions of extremely personal nature? It kind of catches you off guard, and you know the person wants a deep, honest answer. Well, this morning I'd like to take that question and, on behalf of the Lord Jesus, ask all of us, do we love Jesus? Because, you see, he approaches us and surprises us with that same question by name and comes up to us and says, "Do you love me?" Like last week's message, this will be a very personal one from your pastor and your friend. Before we resume another study of a book of the Bible, I just thought I would bring you some very personal and, I hope, much-needed messages from the Word of God for your heart. Do you love Jesus? Jesus keeps asking this question of Peter until he gets the proper answer. And he keeps asking it with a little bit of variation, but it's the persistence in this. One of the Puritans said the same thing was repeated by our Savior the more to affect Peter. It is repeated by the evangelist John the more to affect us and all that read it. It's almost haunting in its persistent repetition. "Peter, Do you love me? It's like your first answer is not good enough, so I'm going to say it again to you. And it's almost, it's not a trick question, but Peter's evading the deepest part of it. Now, let's get one fact understood at the outset. Jesus did not ask Peter because Jesus didn't know the answer. Jesus is God, and as Peter goes on to say in verse 17, Lord, you know all things. So he didn't do this so he could find out. He asked Peter so Peter would know. When the Lord Jesus asked these questions of us, it's so that we would know, do we really love him? It's like after Adam sinned in the garden and God came to him and said, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He wanted Adam to find out where he was, that he had separated himself from God. Where was Adam? He was lost. So the Lord comes to us in Scripture with these sorts of questions, and he does it as the master teacher that just doesn't ask it in a simple ABC, a multiple choice, true or false, obvious way. The Lord has a way of drawing the answer out of us, kind of like a parent with a little child will ask a question. The child will say something, say, well, you're close, and kind of takes that closeness and pulls a little bit on it until it gets the final correct answer. Our Savior comes to us in Scripture with many, many questions. Have you ever done a study on the questions that God asks people in the Bible? Specifically, the ones that Jesus asked people when he was on earth. It's a worthwhile study. Let's let another fact also be noted at the beginning. When Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? He knew that no man has ever loved or can love Jesus as much as Jesus deserves or as much as we should love him. Nobody has ever loved Christ perfectly in this life. Although, I'll give you a little foreview of heaven. In heaven, we will love him as much as we can, as much as we should, and through all eternity in the way that he wants us to love him. But we're still here on earth, and even the best Christians, the strongest ones, still don't always love him perfectly. It's still tinged with sin and selfishness. And nobody loves Jesus perfectly, not Peter and not us. But all that is true, but that's not an excuse. Peter couldn't have said, well, Lord, you know that I'm just human. We can't use excuses and say, well, I'm just human, I'm a busy man or something like that. No, Peter offered no excuses and Jesus accepts none. Another important fact at the beginning. No one, not even Peter or any Christian, has ever loved Jesus as much as he thinks he does. You remember Peter before Jesus was crucified said, they will deny you, but not old Peter. You can count on me. He was deceiving himself. And within a few hours, he was denying that he even knew Jesus, let alone that he loved him. And so Peter had denied Jesus. Now he's being restored. And he's being restored in the proper way. Which is all to say this. We are still also proud and self-deceived. And when you hear the question, do you love Jesus? You might say, well, of course I do. And I love Jesus more than some other people do. I might not never deny Jesus. They may, but not me. Don't deceive yourself. We are probably not even as strong as Peter was the night that he denied Jesus. So if he could do it, so could we. Let's don't deceive ourselves into thinking we love Jesus more than we really do. And we need to be honest with ourselves and kind of do an investigation of our hearts and say, do I really love him and how much more and with what kind of love? And then take that estimation and I'd say cut it in half because we don't love him half as much as we like to think we do. Something else here, because this is a subject very dear to my heart. I'd like to go on for 6 months on the subject of loving Jesus and knowing his love. I'm just going to take a few of those points this morning on loving him. And here's another point here. A good case could be made that loving Jesus truly is the best measure of how spiritual a person really is. A person might say, well, I go to church, I read my Bible, I do this, I do that. Good, fine. But how much do you love Jesus? That is the greatest measure of how close a person really is to God and how much he is following the Word of God. This morning I'd like to expand on this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. And I won't go into the Greek too technically. I just want to make a few comments that will go straight to your heart and hopefully touch you in the way Peter was touched that morning. Now the first way that we could kind of paraphrase what he's saying, do you love me? You could paraphrase it like this. How much do you love me? That phrase echoes within the halls of every marriage. You know, wife will say, you say you love me, how much do you love me? Are you willing to do this for me, to do that for me? Well, when Peter was asked this question, Jesus would say, well, Peter, you say you love me, okay, how much do you love me? Years ago, there was a song, the title of which was, How Deep Is Your Love? And that's kind of the way this question is. You say you love me, okay, how much, how deep is your love toward me? We know from Matthew 22 that the greatest of all God's commandments is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Notice the word all. How much of our hearts do we use to love God? 100%? No, nobody's ever loved God 100%. 50%? 25%? 5%? How much do we love Him? You could also turn that around and say, do you love Him more than you don't love Him? Or do you love Him with most of your heart and your mind and your soul? You could also turn around and say, do you love Him more than you did a year ago or 5 years ago? So you see, this question has all sorts of ways that it can be phrased and rephrased to bring out the right answer. Now, that great love commandment that Jesus told us to love God speaks about love to God. But you'll say, well, aren't you talking about love to Jesus? Yes. But it's the same thing, because Jesus is God, and all the love that we would ever have for God has to come through Jesus. Nobody can say, well, I love God more than I love Jesus. No, the two have to go together. And our love to God goes through Jesus, just like the love of God comes to us through Jesus. God loves us through Jesus. We are to love God also through Jesus. So that's why these verses just overlap. We are to love Jesus with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And so the way that we personally love Jesus is the same extent to which we love God and keep that first and greatest of all commandments. But what if we don't love Jesus at all? What if we read the Word of God and examine our hearts and say, you know, I don't love Him 10%. I don't love Him at all. It's just a memory, or maybe I just admire the man, but I can't love someone I don't know. What if you do an evaluation of your heart and say, I don't really love Jesus at all. In fact, I never really have. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if any man does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. What that means is you're still under the curse of God. You're still damned in your sins, facing judgment, because you don't know salvation. You don't know what it is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's part of the issue that was laid before Peter that morning. And it's the same one that Jesus lays before us this morning, 2,000 years ago. Nothing could be more important than this question. Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, as I said, that there is a sense in which this question can be somewhat relative. Notice in verse 15 how Jesus put it. He says, Simon, do you love me more than these? More than what? Well, some scholars think that Jesus meant, do you love me more than, you know, he looked out in the Sea of Galilee and said, well, do you love me more than those fishing boats and nets? Remember the context. Jesus had risen from the dead, and Peter says, I'm going back to my fishing. Not to be a fisher of men, as Jesus had commanded him. He's going back to his nets and to his boats. Perhaps that's what Jesus meant when he says, do you love me more than those boats and your job? Well, that may not have been the main point, but it is still an applicable one. So let's strike while the iron's hot on this. Apply that to yourself. Do you love Jesus more than your job? Or the daily things of life that are good things? I'm not talking about sinful things, but do you love Him more than your hobbies, your possessions, your family? All these are good things. But Jesus has to be loved first and foremost above them all. Jesus once said, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You could also add, he that loves husband or wife or friends or possessions more than me is not worthy of me. So Jesus is saying, he has to be number one in your list of affections. And that's what he was saying to Peter. Do you love me more than these? Now, another group of scholars think that Jesus is saying something a little bit different than that. He's saying something like, do you love me more than others love me? And I think that that's probably the main import of what he is saying. Peter had already boasted that he would stand by Jesus. Even if all others would desert him, he said, I will be here. You can count on me because I love you. But he didn't stand by Jesus. And so The Savior is gently reminding Peter by this question, Peter, do you really love me more than the others? Come on now, Peter, let's be honest. And the same thing with us. He says, let's be honest. Do you really love me more than other people do? Now, it's not always a fruitful exercise to compare ourselves with other people. If we are less than they are in something good, we might get discouraged or despair or jealous or something like that. We might even envy them and become better about it. But then on the other hand, if we do excel somebody else in something else and say, well, I'm better than them in this, that, or the other, then we might be tempted to get proud. So there are some pitfalls on this question of comparing ourselves with other believers. Nevertheless, it is useful to say, do I love Jesus as much as some other people do? And we've all known people that love Jesus more than we do. And we say, what's the secret of that? How come that person just overflows with love to Jesus? And I have trouble. It's like they have a brand new car and I have to get out there and crank my car on a cold morning. That's like my trying to get my love for Jesus going. How come they love Jesus more often and better? And it's a warmer love than mine. So it can be useful to say, do I love Jesus as much as other Christians do? Because some of them do love him more than us. And I think that's what Jesus was getting at here. Simon, you say you love me more than others. Okay. Do you really love me more than others? Peter, who are the others that you say you love more than them? I could also turn it around in a relative way of comparison, as I said, and say, do you love Jesus as much as you loved him sometime in the past? Every Christian has gone through some honeymoon stage when they're first saved. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. For me, that would be the summer of 1972. I was converted May 10th, 1972. And those first few months, man, it's like a honeymoon. And I guess that's how a bachelor, that's the only honeymoon I've ever gone through. But it was a wonderful time in love with the Lord Jesus, just weeping and singing. It was all just fresh and brand new to me. And then later on, some of that honeymoon period isn't quite as vital. All Christians go through this. Early on, they have what the Bible calls a first love. It's so fresh for the Lord Jesus. They can hardly even utter his name without weeping. They're so grateful to him. It's the honeymoon period. And we're thrilled with rapturous love for the most precious of persons. The Bible calls the lily of the valley. And just sometimes that name, Jesus, is music to our ears. It's especially like that when we're a brand new believer. But almost every believer grows out of that because he doesn't have much knowledge at the beginning, but lots of love. Later on, he gets some of the knowledge, but some of the love begins to wane. That's why the Bible says in Revelation 2:4, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And there's Matthew 24:12, where Jesus said, most people's love will grow cold. And there's Jeremiah 2:2, where God's saying to his people, I remember you concerning the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, as if to say you were married to me, and it was wonderful, but what happened? You know, it's like that old song, you've lost your the loving feeling. Where's the love we used to have? So, brethren, when Jesus asks us those questions, he's saying, okay, maybe you don't love me as much as others do, but do you love me as much as you yourself used to? Back in those days when you said, I will never stop loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, what happened? It's like you've lost a few logs off the fire and the warmth has gone somewhat cold. So we need to ask ourselves, do I love Jesus as much as I used to? Now, God sends us all sorts of tests to see if we love him. Deuteronomy 13:3 says God brings us into these tests and afflictions to test and see if we really do love him. By the way, keep that in mind next time you go through some trial or affliction. He's testing you to see, do you love him in spite of the circumstances? And also remember the true import of Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Let's get back to this question again and add a few words to it to again bring out the true import of what he is saying. You could add a few words like this. Peter, where do you love me? And he would ask us that as well. You say, you know, I love Jesus when I'm on the mountaintop, everything's going well. Yes, but do you love him in the valley when everything's not going well? Do you love him just in church on Sunday morning? What about Monday morning when you're back at work and everything's going against you? Where do you love him? When do you love me, Peter? And he asked that as well as us. In the good times, what about the bad times? How often do you love me? I'd call your attention to the fact that when the Lord Jesus asked this question, he asked it in the present tense. Peter, do you now love me? He didn't ask him, Peter, did you love me or will you love me? But do you now at this very moment love me? Which is as if to say that we can't rely on memories of past love for the Lord Jesus or say, well, I will in the future by your help. But he says, well, maybe. But for the time being, he comes to us and speaks to us heart to heart and says, now, right now, at this very moment, do you love me? Now, that would also apply to us right now at 11:50 on this Sunday morning. Jesus will ask you, do you love me right now as you hear this question? What is the temperature of the love you have in your heart toward him? Or you could also change the question around to, well, how do you love me? Warmly or coldly? Do you demonstrate your love? Do others know that you love me? And without boasting, do you tell and show others that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we might say, oh, I love him when I'm in my prayer closet or when I'm at church. But out there in the world, we need to take a stand, and part of our witness means to show people that we do love the Lord Jesus. I heard a story many years ago about a Christian that somehow wandered into a gathering of some communist rabble-rousers that were trying to pull down the government and have strikes and things like that. And so he sat there and said, well, I'm in the wrong place, but I'm kind of curious what they're going to talk about. So one by one, the different speakers on the platform stood up and talked about the evil capitalists. And then gradually they were talking about the evil preachers and the Christians that are the root of all the problems. And then they began to make fun of God, say there is no God, and Jesus probably didn't exist, or he was a phony. And that Christian sitting at the back was offended by that. And he knew he could just slip out the back if he wanted to. But he said, I've got to take a stand for Jesus. And so he says, they've offended my Savior, the one that I love. And so he put up his hand, and the speaker says, yes, we have a question back there. You have something to say. And the man just stood up, kind of trembling, but he stood up with tears rolling down his face. He said, I just want to say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He turned around and walked out. Would you be willing to take a stand when you hear someone attack the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, if you do love him, you would be hurt if someone says something bad about him out there. You don't have to jump on him, but you can just take a bold stand and say, excuse me, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Peter willing to do that? No. In his hour of decision, he turned tail and ran. So the Lord Jesus is restoring him. So how do we love Jesus? How do we demonstrate it? How do we prove it? Well, I can think of two ways the Bible says that we can prove it. Well, first, by obeying Christ's commandments. You know, the Bible does say, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we might say, oh, yes, I love Jesus, but does our lifestyle of obedience show that we love the Lord Jesus? And also, secondly, by loving other people. For that first great commandment to love God is inseparable from the second one, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And 1 John 4 says a lot about this. One of the evidences that we love God is that we love other people that God created. But what do we mean, love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's how you could change the question around again and say, well, with what kind of love do you love Jesus? What kind of love? What do you mean, love for the Lord Jesus? Now, as I said, that there are those different kinds of Greek words, and it's really not that complicated. Jesus was saying, Peter, do you really love me in the best, deepest, most wholesome way possible that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for me? The word is agapao. It means the greatest display of love. And so he'd say, Peter, do you have agape love for me? And Peter replied with a different word. I have phileo love. I have a friendship love for you. I really like you, Jesus. What kind of love do you have for Jesus? Is it where you say, I really like this fellow, Jesus. Boy, he drove those money changers out of the temple. That's my kind of guy. I like Jesus. What a teacher, theologian. I like his teachings. Well, all that is good and fine, but we need to surpass that with a deep love. It's from the bottom of our heart that is to say, I love you with all that I have, all that I will ever have, the greatest kind of love. I don't only like you, but I love you. It's kind of like the language of marriage. Couples shouldn't get married just because they like each other, but because they love each other. There's a lot of difference between liking Jesus and loving Jesus. I might also add this. Jesus doesn't just like us. He loves us. And because of that, He is not satisfied with us just being chums and pals. He wants us to be lovers with Him. Then you could also say, the question could be put like this, Peter, why do you love me? Or why should a person love the Lord Jesus? Now, assuming that we might love Him in some form or fashion, why do we love Him? And that tells us much about the nature and the depth to which we love Him. And that's the whole what this whole inquiry is about. Why do we love the Lord Jesus? Well, there are various gradations you could answer. You say, well, I love Him because it's my duty. Well, if that's all you have, that's at least something that you say, because He commands me to and I'm going to do my duty. But let's go higher than that. We should love Him more than just simply out of duty, even though it is our duty. We should love Him with our deepest affections. But then again, we should love Him not just to get things from Him. You know how some little children are? They want to get something out of Daddy, so they kind of go and butter Him up and lay it on real thick and go sit on His lap and bring Him His favorite food and say things like that that He wants to hear. You know, a wise dad will say, you know, you're up to something. What do you want? We should not love the Lord Jesus just to get something. In fact, it's a little bit higher than that when we say, I love because He has given me something. He has given me His love. He has given me salvation. Love should be out of gratitude, not out of greed or trying to get something out of Him. So, again, examine your own love for the Lord Jesus. What kind of love do you have for Him? Is it in order that you might get something, or out of gratitude for what He's already given to you? But I would even say there's a higher degree of that, why we should love Him. Even if He gives us nothing more in this life, think of all the great things He has already given us. Salvation. We have become adopted as His children. He's given us a ticket to heaven. But let's say that for the rest of our lives, He says, that's it. You'll get love in heaven, but for the time being, it's going to be rough and people are going to turn on you. And are you still willing to love me anyway? Yes, we should love Him because of the things He has given us and has promised to give us. But He keeps supplying us on the road in between. But again, there's a higher thing, and I'm kind of grasping for the right words on this. We should not love Jesus and God just because of the good things He has given to us. Now, of course, you know we should not love the gifts more than the giver. We should love Him most of all. It's like a child should not love that new Christmas toy more than the parent that gave it to him. We should not love the things that God gives us more than God Himself. But again, there's something higher than that. We should not love the Lord Jesus just because He has given us good things, as good as those are. The deepest, greatest, highest way we should love Him is because of Him. He's the greatest gift. We're to love Him because He is worthy of love. He is the most lovable, the most precious thing of all, irrespective of His gifts, as great as they are. Those are, as it were, incentives to push us to love Him for who He is. And that is the greatest delight in knowing Him, is knowing the value and the preciousness of Jesus. And then when we've come to that level, then we know what true love for Jesus is. You see, loving Jesus is not a means to an end. It's an end in itself. We don't love Jesus, now get this closely, we don't love Jesus to get a reward. Loving Jesus itself is reward enough and is one of the greatest things we can ever experience this side of heaven, is to know the love of Jesus and to love Him. So you see, the question in John 21 has all these different facets to it. Now let's explore some more of this question. I learned many years ago, I don't know if I learned this in seminary or not, but I learned that you can take certain statements in the Bible and squeeze the meaning out of it, as it were, by looking at each word and putting a certain emphasis on each word, and that gives you a new way of looking at what that sentence is saying. Let me show you what I mean with this simple question. He says, do you love me? Think about it like this. Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me, Peter? And he asks us that. You know, you come to church and you sing songs like, "My Jesus, I love you, I know thou art mine," and so on. We sing these songs that I love the Lord Jesus. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. You say it, but do you mean it? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just saying words into the air? Well, put the emphasis on the second one. Do you love me? Others do, Peter. Do you love me? By the way, it's not just other people on earth, but if you want to start comparing yourself to other people, why don't you compare yourself to the angels in heaven? I guarantee you, every angel in heaven loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though they haven't been saved from sin, they never sinned. All the angels in heaven love the Lord Jesus. Do you love God as much as the angels do? How about the people that are in heaven? No, they do. Do you love me? So we are challenged by the Lord Jesus. You see, this is also personal. This is a personal pronoun. When he asked Peter, he called him by name and he used a personal word, you. Friends, when you hear me preach this morning, just like every other Sunday morning, I hope you don't just listen to Kurt Daniel. You listen to the voice of Jesus through these words. I know I'm not the perfect preacher, but occasionally I hit the mark. But whenever I quote Scripture and preach it accordingly, listen to the voice of your Savior. So again, this is Jesus saying to you, do you love me? He calls you by name. John, Susan, Bob, whatever your name is, do you love me? That's a haunting question when the King of Kings asks you personally, do you love me? Emphasize the third word. Do you love me? The Lord didn't ask Simon Peter, do you believe in me or do you trust me? Will you obey me? Will you worship me? Now, those are good and fine, and they're commanded and commended to us. And we may and have some of that and do some of that, but still, again, that's not the greatest of all questions. He says, okay, you obey me, you do these other things, but do you love me? And there's no substitute for that. You know 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, if I do this or that, if I speak in tongues, or if I have all knowledge but I don't have love, I'm nothing. We usually apply that to, if I do all these things but I don't love my fellow man, I'm nothing. Let's also apply that to loving Jesus. We may have all knowledge. You may have a string of PhDs and be a great theologian, but if you don't love Jesus, you're nothing. You know, that's kind of humbling for me as a theologian. I might do a lot of reading, and I love to do theology, but I always get humbled when I say, now, what am I doing with that knowledge? Do I love Jesus as much as I like to study His Word? Or we might say, I serve Him, yes, but do you love Him as much as you serve Him? So you see, loving Jesus is the greatest of all things, and without that, all this others means nothing. Brethren, never ever substitute anything for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even good things like studying the Bible or serving Jesus, using your spiritual gifts. For without love to Jesus, they're all without any value. Now, we're not saved by loving Jesus, but we are not saved without loving Jesus. The degree to which we love Him person to person is the degree to which we grow in the Christian life. A person that is saved will love Jesus to some extent, and He wants us to love Him more. How about emphasizing the fourth word in that question? Do you love me? Now, again, notice the two personal pronouns in the question. Do you love me? Now, that's a heart-to-heart question, or what one of the old philosophers called the I-thou relationship. Do you love me? This is Jesus speaking to us. And so He wants the personal heart-to-heart love between us and Him. But we can't love Him until we know Him. You can't love someone that's a total stranger to you. You first have to be introduced to the Lord Jesus. Now, let me apply this to those in our midst that may not yet be believers in the Lord Jesus. We're talking about loving Jesus. But if you don't know Him, if you've never been truly born again and saved, all this doesn't really strike home. You may think you love Him, but you can't love someone that's a stranger. You have to know Him first. That's why we want you to come to know Him by faith, to be born again and to be saved, so that you'll be, of course, rescued from hell and on your way to heaven, but also so that you might be introduced to this loving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't fool yourselves into thinking, of course I love the Lord Jesus. If you don't know Him, you don't love Him. You have to know His love and know Him personally before you can love Him. So we invite you to come to Jesus, to know His love, so that you might then love Him. Now, what the Savior desires is a very personal and true love from us. It's to be a very simple and pure love, and we find examples of this in Scripture. I like to think of old King David. David was one of my favorite people in the Bible. I like David, not just because he killed Goliath and did these other great things, but he had the Bible says he had a heart after God's own heart. His heart was beating in perfect timing with God. Oh yes, he sinned, but he got back out of that sin and came back to God. He was a good example of one that loved God. Three times he says this in the Psalms. Psalm 116:1, he says, I love the Lord. Psalm 18:1, he says, I love you, O Lord. In Psalm 31:23, he says, O love the Lord, all you his saints. In that first one, he says, I do love the Lord. So he's testifying before others. And in the third one, he is encouraging other people to love him. But that second one is very precious, where he says, I love you, O Lord. As your friend and as your pastor, I want to ask you, when you pray, or when you sing here the hymns on Sunday morning, do you ever say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I love you? He wants to hear that. Just like wives want to hear it from their husbands, husbands want to hear it from their wives, children from their parents. We can never hear it too much. Jesus wants us to say it and mean it. I love you, Lord. In spite of the circumstances, Lord, I still love you. He wants to hear that. David could say it. Can you say it? Peter eventually did say it in the right way. He says, Lord, you know I really do love you. Not just like you, I really do love you. So he wants us to love him with true, deep affection within us. Now, before we close, we need to ask the question, why is it that we don't love the Lord Jesus as we should, even Christians? Well, it's because of sin. Sin blocks love to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be removed by repentance and by faith. Some of you have heard the name Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He said something about 23 years ago. I'll never forget it. Just stay with me all this time. Very simple. He says, we are to love God by faith instead of by feelings. Now, that's good. Not just obey by faith, but love him by faith. What are we getting at? He was thinking of 1 Peter 1:8. It says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So we need to love by faith the one that we don't see, but by faith we can love him. There's another incentive whereby we can increase our love toward him. Think of all the sins that he's forgiven you. I always like that story in Luke 7. You remember the woman came in and she knelt before the Lord Jesus and she wept on his feet. And then she wiped the tears away with the hair of her head. And she was so grateful. In fact, Luke even says she just kept kissing his feet. Well, some other people were there and they just couldn't understand, well, what's going on? This woman's kind of going overboard. What's this all about? And so Jesus said to Simon, says, Simon, you know, when I came in here, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't give me a towel. She uses her own hair. The point of what he was saying was this. He says, Simon, he that is forgiven little loves little. He that is forgiven much loves much. This woman whose sins are many loves much. Brethren, when we find that our love for the Lord Jesus is waning, just remember all the sins that Jesus has forgiven you. That will begin to stir up love in your heart toward him. But of course, the greatest, indeed the really only incentive to loving Jesus is the love of Jesus for us. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. So the more we receive of his love and meditate on it and on him, the more we will naturally love him in return. And therefore, the reason that we don't love him as much as we should is simply because we stray from the source of true love. It's kind of like a car running on fumes. You're out of gas. You need to get topped up again with the love of Jesus. And then you will find it's a little bit easier to love him when you dwell on his love. Now, sometimes the way of the Lord Jesus is a little tough because he loves us. It's like he loves us with tough love. And with Peter, what he's doing is, he's digging into Peter's heart deeper and deeper and has to scrape away the rust and the barnacles to get at the true love that he knew was deep down in Peter's heart but had been covered up with all this sin of denying Jesus and going back to fishing. So he had to scrape away and get down deeper. The Lord does that with us too. He probes, he pokes, he scrapes, he sticks in the knife. And sometimes it hurts. But his ways are not our ways. Friends, sometimes the Lord Jesus has to break us and bring us into a sick bed of affliction or a really bad time. As it were, he's squeezing the love out of us that is there, But it's been covered up with so many other things. I'll never forget the time, I guess it's been 20 years ago now, I was at a certain Christian organization and I was talking to a lady about my age, and her little boy, about 6 years old, was tugging at her and misbehaving and saying things and everything. So she says, "Excuse me, I've got to discipline my son." So I, curious bachelor that I am, I step back and want to look at this. So she takes him over to the side and says, "Now, you know what I'm going to do. You know that I love you, but I need to discipline you." And so she began to spank him, and so he started to cry. He needed an attitude adjustment, and he got it. She broke his will. He was no longer disobedient and disrespectful. And I'll never forget what that little boy said with tears coming down his little eyes. He said, "Oh, Mama, I'm so sorry. I love you, Mama. I do love you. I do love you." That's very touching. That's what the Lord Jesus does with his children, too. Sometimes it's more rebelliousness than love, so he has to discipline us to get that rebelliousness out, and it'll hurt. But then if we are true Christians, when he afflicts us like that, we will respond and say, "Lord, I do love you. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me." Now, can't all of us testify that some of the sweetest times of love for the Lord Jesus we've experienced is in the bed of affliction, or in the hospital, or when things are going against us? That's not the world's reasoning. But it's the way of the Lord. He squeezes the love out of us so that we are back to the place of sweet communion with him in love. Well, there's so much more I'd like to say, but our time is just about over. So how do we respond to this? Let me get back to that question I asked at the beginning. Of all the Christians you know that love the Lord Jesus, which one do you know that loves him the most? And if it's anyone other than yourself, there's room for improvement, isn't there? We should be the sort of person that other people will say, "I wish I loved Jesus as much as that person do." Don't you wish the time would come that on your tombstone it would say, "This is a person that loved Jesus"? Don't you wish that there would be a time when even non-Christians would say, "I don't know about that person's religion, but he sure does love this fellow Jesus, whoever he is." We should be known by our love for the Lord Jesus. And if it's anyone other than ourselves that loves Jesus that much, well, there's room for improvement. By God's grace and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, may every one of us be able finally to respond like Peter did. He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I do love you." Now let us come to this Lord Jesus in prayer and bow down before him in worship and adoration. And for just a few moments, open our hearts and say, "Lord, deal with my heart so that I might be a true lover of Jesus." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you surprised and challenged Peter on that seashore many years ago. And you wouldn't let him go until you got the right answer. You've been probing our hearts this morning also, Lord Jesus. And we know that we don't love you as much as we should. We confess that we love other things instead of you. And some of us just live on past memories of loving you, or future promises of loving you. Help us, Lord, to love you now. Strike us deep in our hearts, break our wills, and remind us of your deep love for us, so that when all is finally said and done, we will say, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I do love you." Grant that, O Lord, for it is in the holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.